Hello and welcome to Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers podcast, your number one podcast for healing the wound of maternal narcissism and stepping into your power. In this episode, you will get to hear me share a personal experience I had a few days ago, linked to the power of voice, creativity and community in this healing journey from maternal narcissism. You will gain a deeper understanding of where is safe for you to express emotions, which is really important in this healing journey, so listen to the end. I am Mathilde and I'm your host. I'm an inner transformation mentor supporting women healing mother wounds through the 1-on-1 10 weeks program and through Reclaim Your Fullness online community. So let me start by asking you, do you get moved by movies or books? Or maybe an art piece? Do you get lost in the world of books or in a landscape? Do you get emotional when hearing someone else's experience, for example? And why is this important within the context of maternal narcissism and healing mother wounds? Because for almost all of us with narcissistic mothers, we were not safe in expressing or even feeling emotions. Our emotions were not the main event ever, and in a lot of cases we've been labeled too sensitive, or the opposite, not sensitive enough. We've been labeled too reactive, we've been labeled crybaby, we've been gaslighted, and our emotions have been invalidated. And we've been labeled selfish for getting lost in our own emotions when we should have instead considered our mother's emotionality first and all of that. So emotions were in our childhood and in many, many, many cases still are an unsafe place to be and an unsafe place to explore. And for many of us, we had to find a way to explore and express our emotions that was safe. And sometimes this could be through getting moved by a movie or getting lost in a book. I've had clients reporting that they get emotional with movies in a way that seems even too much. And I want to raise my hand with that because, like, for a long time, I couldn't watch any movie without getting extremely emotional about anything. Like, it would be a joke in my own family now, the family that I have now with my husband and my daughters. Oh, mommy can't even watch a Shrek without crying and getting moved at some scenes. And that was true. Like, I cried a Shrek. Yes, I have. I've had other clients saying that they spent hours lost in books, living full emotional experiences through the pages of a story and so on. And again, I can see myself in that very often. I have had that. More with movies than with books, but I have had that. The world of fantasy and going somewhere else and being safe in this other place to actually feel and experience the emotionality that otherwise was not allowed. And for others, it is music. That can be another thing. So that's what I want to talk about today because it's so important. I want to know also, what is your experience of this? Have you experienced anything like that? What's the channel that allows you to feel emotions in a safer way than feeling them outright and owning them as your own? Because that's the thing. That is what mostly has been unsafe, is owning the emotionality as our own, as opposed to, well, you know, it's kind of like a tragic movie. Or it's a real tearjerker. There's a happy ending that kind of gets people moved and stuff. So it's more acceptable. And we can still hide in some way behind that shield. It's like a protection. It's kind of acceptable to cry in that scenario. So share in the comments what has been your experience. So in this episode, I want to share with you that last week, two things happened. One, I had an incredible experience that involved music. And the second thing was a listener sent me an email of which I want to share a bit, with their permission, of course, they've given me permission to share, where this person actually shared with me about their connection with music. So I'm going to just share a little piece of the entire email, which was a little bit longer than this, but this piece was what kind of encapsulated the essence of it. So it says that, have you ever considered doing an episode on how music has the capacity to trigger or alleviate emotions when dealing with a narcissistic parent? I have always been a child of music, all kinds. Music helps me navigate my world. Music inspires, guides, unites. It has the ability to go deep into our guts and our souls and grab hold of the emotions we choose to suppress and just, well, put them out or pull them out. So that was what the listener shared with me in their email, which I'm deeply grateful for. As always, when you share your experience with me, not only your questions, but your experiences and your reflections. So thank you for that. It's always very, very inspiring. And so yes, music can have that power to bring out emotions that we may be suppressing or also repressing. So when it's something that we suppress, is something that we consciously push down. So, you know, you have a moment of sadness, but you don't want to show tears in front of anyone, and you just kind of swallow it and you just push back the tears and you suppress that. And then there's a whole other pocket inside of us, which is what we repress. And these are the emotions that we don't even know they are there. Okay. And this can be pulled out by music. And this may be for some of you listening to this, maybe nodding and going, wow, yeah, music does it for me. Could be any type of music, but it really just stirs the emotions for me. And some of you could say, well, no, actually music doesn't do it for me at all. But this other thing does. Maybe art, maybe, as we said, a movie, maybe a book, maybe listening to someone telling their own story and their own experience. So what I want to say in this episode is that all of this is valid, and there isn't one way that fits all. And I want to say that now so that as we go into the episode, you're not feeling in any way like comparing your system to someone else's system. If music doesn't move you, or if art doesn't move you, or if a movie doesn't move you, that's okay. We all have found which is our channel. And for some of us, there may be no channel at all. None at all. I have met people in my life, people that are actually very close to me even now, that nothing used to move them. Like my husband is an example. Like he could watch any movie and never cry. I do remember the first time that he did cry at a movie sitting beside me. It was like an event. It was an event. It was like, wow. He was like, I actually cried at this movie or at a piece of art. It was only recent that actually got to move him. So for some of us, the experience of emotions has been so unsafe, so very deeply unsafe, that the wisdom that guides us in childhood to survive actually decided, you know what, I'm just going to suppress and repress everything. And I'm going to find one small private channel that maybe I'm not even aware of that's what that is. But that's where, like, my husband would get very passionate in sports, for example. So that was, for him, for years, a way to channel emotions. For me, it has always been movies. I could not cry in front of my mother. My mother would get extremely aggressive if I cried in front of her, which happened often because she was aggressive also before, but obviously as I cried that got worse. But it was always better to cry than to get angry at her. So my escape was to make myself small and cry, which was upsetting her and making her get aggressive, but not as much as if I actually answered back and got angry. That would have been way worse. So there was a wisdom in my tears, in my coping strategy in that. But at the same time, it was deeply unsafe to show emotions. I was always the too sensitive one in the family. And movies became the place. where I could cry, because although they still laughed at me and made fun of me and sort of still labeled me as this too sensitive person that would cry at anything, at the very least, they laughed at me. They didn't get aggressive. So my mother would make fun of me if I cried at a movie, but she wouldn't get aggressive with me. So that became like an easier way to express emotions. And then, and of course, I wasn't aware of any of this. I'm speaking about it now as if like, oh, as if this was like a well thought out process, but these processes are not that. They happen subconsciously. We figure out subconsciously as children these ways, these coping strategies to be able to survive these very unsafe situations. And so that's how we find ways to cope and to express emotions. So I want to go back to, because it was interesting why this email of the listener got me, because exactly like the day before receiving this email, I had gone with my family to a concert in Dublin, and this was a very unexpected experience, as in I did not know what to expect from this concert. Now, I went to see, the concert we went to see was from an American singer, a musician. She's called Ayla Nereo. And she does amazing music. So I knew that I was going to enjoy her music because I love her deeply. I've been listening to her for years. But I had no idea what to expect in terms of the venue and how the concert was going to be. And we were very surprised when we arrived, because it was quite a small venue and it was a very intimate concert. And this, for me, I know, can be a triggering situation, because not knowing what to expect and arriving to a place that is not actually the standard setup of a concert can actually be an intense experience for my nervous system, and I know that. So I was doing all the different things and using the tools that I know to just make sure I kept myself to a regulated space as I was waiting for the concert to start. And of course, there were my daughters there, my husband as well. So, you know, making sure that everyone was okay within the context. But there was an element of, I could feel my body not being comfortable as it could have been. And I don't particularly like going to the city. We live in the countryside, and so for me, always going to the city is quite it can be an intense experience. So this was the context. And then she came onto the stage and she opened the concert, and I just started crying. And I can't even tell you why, what emotion that was. I didn't even spend time trying to label it. It was just three songs of tears. And after that, there was such a lightness that came in my entire body and an openness. And it was one of the most incredible experiences I've ever had with music. Now, I do cry at music. Music can move me. It has happened before, to be moved by a piece of music or by a performance of an artist. For sure, that's not new for me. But this experience was a whole other level, because, and I'm deeply grateful to this artist, to Ayla Nereo, for this experience, of course. But it's also a sign of the safety that slowly, with work, has been building in my nervous system. And I want to say this to you, because this is possible. It is possible to get to a place where you experience life and you experience even moments of discomfort, you experience moments of quite intense emotionality without it having to drag you down into a spiraling hole which has been my experience for many, many years in my life. And I know it is the experience of many listeners, and it is also the experience of my clients when they get in contact with me. So I totally get that. I feel you in that, if that's your experience. And I really wanted to share this because it doesn't have to be that way forever. There is a light at the end of the tunnel, and we can become in we can come in touch with our emotions in a way that's safe. And this is why I wanted to speak to this event, because what was the difference? Why this event was different than other times? Recently, I've been doing even more work on my nervous system, getting deeper into it. And this has brought a lot more safety than before. And this has come off the back of, I'm losing count, but I think it's 4 years of no contact at this point with my mother. Very low contact with the rest of my family of origin. No contact at all with my husband's family, which was also not very healthy emotionally as an experience. So that safety, there's been an outer safety that has been built through boundaries, which are really, really important. And you know, if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know I do talk about boundaries, the importance of them, and all of that. So all of that is really, really important. But it's when we get to the inner safety that we really start unlocking another layer. All that was suppressed, and most importantly, what was repressed in our system, because we don't even know that that's there. The repressed stuff, that's the thing, that's the tricky part of it. We don't even know that that's there, and not knowing that that's there, we can't work with that. And so that's where these channels that are safe for us to get in touch with our emotions, if it's books for you, if it's movies, if it's music, if it's going into nature, if it's, and why do I say community at the beginning of the episode, I said you, I want to speak about the importance of voice, creativity, and community, because voice, in this case, we that concert, not only there was a listening to music, but there was singing, because knowing the songs, we sang along, and community, because it was a beautiful group of souls of people that I didn't know, apart from my family. I didn't know anyone else that was there, but it didn't matter. It was a community, and it was a very tangible feeling of being safe in that space with people that were holding each other, although they didn't know each other. And Isla guided this process really beautifully throughout the concert. So she actually made that space into an incredibly safe container, and everyone that was there was aligned with that. So being able to express vocally does something quite powerful to the nervous system. Being able to do that within community, so a space where you feel safe with others, is also very powerful. And creativity is an immense channel. So whether you are listening to this and you are creative, so you are a person that actually, we kind of all are creatives. I want to put this little bit of context. It doesn't matter if you're creating big, amazing paintings, or if you are creating a meal or a cozy environment in your home, or we create. We're humans, and humans by nature create. But if you are a creative in the more common sense of the term, so you are someone that actually does some form of art in some way, shape, or form, you'll know that there is the creative process can be extremely healing when done with a conscious intentionality. There's something that happens when we create that is extremely healing. But creativity can also be and is a powerful healing tool when we're consuming it. So I didn't create the music that Ayla shared in her concert. I have no idea. I don't even play an instrument very well, and I don't know how to do music, but I can consume it. I can go to a concert and I can be moved by her creativity, by what she has created, and allow it to get in and through my system. And as the listener said in their email, go and grab hold of the emotions that were there and that I may not even have been aware that were there, and pull them out, and not only out, but out and through. Out and through. This is how we move through waves of emotions that have been suppressed and repressed for many, many years. So there can be a very, something very powerful can happen when we become aware of what is the channel that you are using unconsciously, probably, to express your emotions in a safe way. This could be anything. Maybe up until now you thought you were just weird, like I did for many, many years. I thought I was weird. Who cries a Shrek? Come on. There are scenes of books and movies. Someone recently actually shared with me that they get very moved and sometimes triggered also in some scenes in books. And I was responding to this person sharing that there is a particular book that I can't actually even talk about the final scenes or certain scenes of this book towards the end without crying. It moves me so much and to such a deep, deep level that it makes me cry every time. And again, when we are experiencing things like this, we can feel like we're the only one. We can feel like we're crazy, weird, again, too sensitive. You know, there can be the mind that says to you, you shouldn't react that way. You're overreacting, or you're being so dramatic, or come away with it. Like, I mean, no one else is crying. I remember being at an art exhibition in Italy at some point when I was about 16 or 17, I think, in and around, maybe a little older. But yeah, my grandmother used to bring me to these art exhibitions very often, and I absolutely loved Vincent Van Gogh. And there was a painting that is called The Room in Arles. It's effectively a representation of his bedroom in this place in France. And as the guide was telling the story of him being alone in this room, I started crying. Now, this is in the middle of a group of tourists. There were about 20 people there. The guide was talking. I was in front of this painting, and I was bawling my eyes out. I was the only one. No one else was crying. So this can be fairly weird, you know, if you don't know where that is coming from. I had enough awareness at the time to know that it was what I felt I connected with was the representation of his loneliness. I felt very alone as a young person and as a child. And then afterwards, I felt very alone for many, many years until I found this work and stopped feeling that alone. Realized that I have myself and I have a lot of support. But for a very long time, I felt very alone. And so in that moment, I could really resonate and through the creativity, the art, the amazing work of this person that wasn't even alive anymore. I wasn't even there in front of me. There was only a painting that was in front of me. I could let out a wave of that loneliness and let it come out and through. So again, for all of those listening in that have been feeling weird, crazy, alone in this, that don't understand why they cry at things that maybe no one else cries at, that they felt too sensitive, and all of that. I want you to know that that is your amazing wisdom that has found a safe way for you to express your emotions and process them in a way as well, because the mind doesn't need to understand, especially when we're processing repressed emotions. Very often we don't have words, and that's okay. We don't know why. You know, why am I crying at this? This makes no sense. And when we try to find the why, we try to figure out where this is coming from. Very often we are actually pulled out of the emotion that we're processing, and we're pulled back into the rational mind. And no healing happens there, guys. No healing happens from the rational mind. It's so superficial. Any time that we're going through the rational mind, we're using like a teeny tiny percentage of the healing power that we have in our body. Teeny tiny. The healing happens in the body. Doesn't happen in the mind. So every time that we're pulled out, we're going back into a place of somehow repressing or suppressing. Because if you notice, if you are in a situation that's moving you in some way, and this can move you in different ways. It can be tears, it can actually be excitement, it can be joy, there can be lots of different things. It doesn't have to be tears necessarily every time. But the minute that you begin to think about, oh, why is this happening? Am I the only one? Am I crazy? Should I stop? That process is choked off. That process is interrupted. And immediately we stop feeling actually what we were feeling. And the process gets stopped. So I really want to invite you to embrace this pathway that you have found to feel, although feeling has been very unsafe for you for such a long time. Your system has found a pathway that was safe. I couldn't cry ever in front of my mother or in front of my grandmother. They would both get upset in different ways, and so I found that movies would do that, music would do that, books could do that to a degree, and I could then allow that emotionality flow. I was a very sensitive child, but not in a too sensitive sort of way, like many of us. It's a beautiful sensitivity that's actually a gift, but has been turned into a curse by an emotionally immature mother and a narcissistic mother that didn't understand, didn't know how to cope, didn't know how to deal, that was self-centered and needed her own emotionality to be at the center of the universe all the time. And so there was no space for us to actually express that emotionality, for us to be safe in sampling and playing with it, and even knowing. I do meet many clients that would say they don't even know what emotion they're feeling, and I get it. Because when you've never been allowed to play with it, how the hell are you meant to know? When it was never safe for you to feel all the different shades, and we get comfortable eventually with saying that we're experiencing grief, because it's spoke about so often right now, you know, in different podcasts like this or in different places, so we get a bit more comfortable with using grief. Maybe anger, but again, we don't even know what that is. What does that actually really mean? There's so many different shades to anger. There's so many different shades to grief. There's so many different shades to joy. I've recently learned in my own nervous system, which surprised me and shocked me a little, that I feel extremely unsafe feeling joy. And that was like, whoa, that's new. I didn't know that. I thought I was able to experience joy. As it turns out, I'm actually not, and I'm working with it, and it's opening a whole new level for me. So these channels that we use, be it creativity, be it art, be it a safe space in community, be it music, be it a book or a movie, whatever it is for you, as I say, nature can do that. Have you ever got moved by seeing a certain type of landscape? Maybe it's the ocean that does it for you. Maybe it's the mountains. Maybe it's a forest, beautiful flowers, whatever that is that allows you to process and let emotions move through, that is a wonderfully wise part of your system that has found a way to do that. Now, what happens when we start bringing awareness to this? Bringing awareness to this doesn't mean, as I said, pull out of the experience by rationalize it and analyze it and try to figure out why it happens and all of that. But bringing awareness to it means start bringing, when this happens, so if I'm giving you my own example, so being at that concert that stirred so much emotionality in me that I cried for about 3 songs, and then intermittently during the concert at different moments as well, although the quality of it changed for me, it became more like tears of somewhat joy in a way, which at the beginning it was more coming from some deep grief. But so when that happens, can you get into your body and notice what's happening inside your body? So rather than trying to figure out where is that coming from, label it, try to figure what emotion exactly it is, what childhood memory it's linked to, or what abusive behavior of your mother, or whatever. Instead of going that way, can you go into your body? It's like, for example, as I was in the concert, what was helping me, I found, was having a hand on my heart and a hand on my belly and move to the music, but not dancing like other people were doing. That was not what my body wanted. My body wanted the feet planted on the ground, wanted that grounding as I was going through that experience, and it wanted a certain type of movement. So again, that was not necessarily the dancing that everyone else was doing. It was very personal to what I was experiencing and what my body needed to go through. And again, maybe in a similar experience, your body wants to curl up in a ball for a moment, or it wants to rest the back somewhere that feels supported, or it wants to give, you want to give yourself a hug, or you want to shake and move energetically. That is what helps that wave move through way more than rationalize it and trying to explain it. So becoming curious, not in a rational way as to where, what the hell that means and where it came from, but becoming curious to what's happening in my body right now, and what if I try to take my shoes off maybe and get my feet more grounded? What happens to this emotion? What happens to the state? I mean, what if I, as I said, place my hand on my heart? What if I give myself a hug? What happens? And notice what happens in your body. That is what bringing awareness to these moments mean. And that is where we can actually really powerfully finish the loop of that emotion and process it fully for that pocket. For that pocket. That doesn't mean that that emotion isn't coming up again. It's going to come up a million times, different layers of it, different triggers, but that pocket is done. Rather than being a recurring loop, it can actually be a very potent event that can shift a lot of things, and it can open up to amazing insights. I came out and away from that concert with a lot of insights on a lot of different things. And that's the power of this work. When we're moving from the rational mind, we're moving even from blaming our mothers, even from the story of what she's done and what she hasn't done, which is all valid and true. I'm not saying that it's not. But when we stay caught in it, when we go, oh, I'm crying at the movie because I was never allowed to cry in front of my mother, Yes, that is a story that's true. That is what's happened to me. And I know that you have your own version of that. But if in that moment of feeling the emotion, you go into your body and do whatever your body needs to move that emotion through and feel better afterwards, that's more powerful than trying to figure out or trying to repeat the story again and again and again. So that is what I wanted to share with you today. The power of the wisdom that we have inside, which is to find a channel to express these emotions, even when it has been extremely unsafe for us to do so openly and to own them as our own. And so if that's been your experience, you're not weird, you're not crazy, you have, as we all do, an incredibly wise inner system that is always out there to protect you and has kept you alive up until now. It has kept you, it has helped you get into where you are now. And now if you add this awareness and start noticing your body and bring that to the next layer, you can actually use intentionally these moments to fully move through waves of emotions in a way that can bring a lot of healing. So yeah, if you feel called to share your experience of this, you can share it in the comments. I'm curious to know what's the channel that works for you. If it's one of the ones I mentioned or if there's something else, because we're all different and we all have our own personal way. There's no right or wrong in this. And also, if you want to ask questions on this, feel free to send me an email at mathilde@womenreclaimingtheirfullness.me. And with that, I'm going to send you lots of love and bye for now.